I first heard Nick Lowe's clever lyrics and cutting-edge music back in the 1970s with the songs I Love the Sound of Breaking Glass and Cruel to Be Kind. And the music hasn't stopped since, whether it's been songwriting, performing, recording or producing. Nick Lowe has maintained a respected presence in the music industry for the past 50 years. And he's playing in Adelaide this weekend. Nick Lowe, welcome back.
Nice to be with you, Deb. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Has touring played a big part in your life in the past decade or so?
Well, yes, I suppose it has. With the decline of record sales, you know, touring has been the sort of major part of the working musician's income. So, you know, you better have got out there and seen the whites of their eyes.
Yeah, well, it's back to more of a troubadour style industry these days, isn't it?
Yeah, totally. And I certainly enjoy doing the shows more nowadays than I used to.
Do you tour with the same musicians that you record with? Are you part of a close-knit crew?
Well, I used to tour all the time with the musicians I recorded with. And I suppose you could say I still do, because my more recent recordings have been with the American group Los Straitjackets, who I'll be appearing with in town.
Well, you don't stand still as an artist, Nick Lowe. So how do you feel about the sense of nostalgia that there is now, not just here in Australia, but globally, for musicians who first found fame in the 1970s or 80s?
Oh, well, I suppose I can't really explain it other than there's a sort of nostalgia thing there, or people are just interested in seeing folks who came up at that time, where you had to sort of learn to work a room, you know, and all that old fashioned stuff, sort of showbiz stuff, which for younger artists they don't really have to know about that stuff. It's just a different way of doing it.
It sure is. I like the old way, personally. So it might be that we just love hearing fantastic music that's taking us back to those times. Have you had to try to reinvent yourself over the half century that you've been in the music business?
Oh, definitely, yeah. There was a time in the sort of mid-1980s when, I realised my brief career as a pop star, because as you kindly said in your introduction, you know, I've done all sorts of things in the music business and tried my hand at many branches of it, but one of them was as a pop star, and I had a brief career as a pop star in the sort of late 1970s, and by the time the mid 80s came along, I realized that public's tastes had changed, and my time in that line of work was coming to an end. So I thought to myself, I better take a little bit of a break here and think what I'm going to do next. And I started considering carefully how to use the fact I was getting older in a business that had no use at that time for older people. How I could use the fact I was getting older in the business as an actual advantage, and present myself and write songs for myself and record myself in a way that my age would, as I say, be an advantage. You know, I worked that out, and it seems to have come out all right for me.
It has. Well, I share your love of country music. I think it's fair to say you've got one, most particularly because of the wonderful stories that are told through that medium. Where was your connection with country born from?
Well, my mum actually was very influential on me. She was a pretty good musician, so she was quite a good singer, albeit in sort of an old-fashioned style. Whenever I hear Rosemary Clooney, a name you don't hear very often nowadays, but my mum sounded quite a lot like Rosemary Clooney. And she came from a sort of vaudeville family, and she taught me a few guitar chords and things like that. But she had in her record collection in the 1950s, when I came from a RAF, Air Force family, and spent a lot of time as a kid in the Middle East. And she had a collection of records. A lot of it was show music, you know, South Pacific and My Fair Lady and High Society, that sort of thing, all of which I love. But she had these two records by a guy called Tennessee Ernie Ford.
Oh, yes.
and who's best known for a song called 16 Tons, I suppose. But anyway, I played these records over and over again. And I didn't know at the time that that was a kind of Californian, West Coast country and western, not the stuff from Nashville. And so it had a lot more jazz in it. But I didn't know that, but it sounded fantastic to me, like a cartoon or something like that. But anyway, that's where I got my initial love of that genre.
Well, how did it feel then with your first wife, Carlene Cash, marrying into the Cash Carter family? The names are just synonymous with the very peak of country music.
Well, it was very bizarre, you know, as you might imagine. I was a kind of spotty Herbert who came to town, you know, and I was courting Carlene, and I remember meeting John for the first time. He was a really wonderful bloke, you know, a really, really great guy, and I miss him still, and June as well. They were both really fantastic, and he was very kind to me, and probably the most charismatic person I've ever met. I didn't see him that often, maybe three or four times a year, because he lived in Nashville or he was touring, you know, and I lived in London and I was touring. But whenever I did, it always used to take me about half an hour before I actually adjusted to being with him. You know, it was very odd. But as soon as I did, he was just like any of my pals. We used to listen to music together, and it was just in the same way as you might listen to music with your friends. Oh, listen to this one, put this one. Oh, listen to how he does that. Fantastic. One of my, you know, some of my favourite memories are listening to records with Cash.
Gee, and of course he covered The Beast in Me. It must have been an amazing feeling to have Johnny Cash sing your music.
Yeah, you bet. It certainly was.
My special guest is Nick Lowe, a legendary singer, songwriter, performer, recording artist, producer of great note. You're listening to ABC Radio Adelaide. I'm Deb Tribe. Nick, there would be quite a few people who may not know Nick Lowe very well, but they would know your songs through versions sung by other people. Most particularly, I imagine, Elvis Costello's What's So Funny About Peace, Love and Understanding, which I have to say is still the perfect anthem for the times that we live in today. Does that bother you at all, that sometimes your music is better known than you are?
No, it doesn't. You know, as long as the royalties still go to royalty, if you know what I mean. I have absolutely no problem with that at all. In fact, I rather like it, actually, because you know, when people do actually find out that I wrote a song that they knew, there's something rather nice about it. I think of myself really as a songwriter primarily nowadays, and when I tour nowadays, I tour either with the Lost Straitjackets, this group that I'm appearing with at the moment on this Australian tour, or I tour just solo with an acoustic guitar, and they're two very different shows, but it means that I can showcase other sides of my songwriting styles, you know.
What sort of music are you listening to these days? Are you returning to early influences, or are you listening to a lot of new music?
Well, I listen to quite a lot of new music because I've got a young son. He's about 14. You know, he's crazy about music, and he likes a lot of the same sort of stuff I like too. He's got quite a broad appreciation, but naturally, being 14, you know, he likes a lot of stuff which I'm not particularly interested in, but nonetheless I get to hear, and you know, very often it's very interesting, you know, the way some of the you know, modern techniques in making records. I'm always very interested in hearing that. But when I tour, mainly I listen to jazz most of the time nowadays, albeit fairly old-fashioned stuff, you know, bebop from the 50s and 60s I'm particularly fond of, because it's great music I can read to it, you know. It's great music to put on in headphones, and I can do other things to it. Sometimes if it's songs, I find I can't concentrate on a book I'm reading, or
I couldn't agree with you more. Yeah, whenever I need to work or read, I listen to classical music.
Yes, I listen to classical too.
Anything lyrical, I get dragged straight into the lyrics and completely distracted. Nick, would you mind if I asked you a personal question about your name? Because I've only ever known you as Nick Lowe for the last 50 years, but when I was looking you up, I saw that your middle name is Drain. And I don't know that I've ever seen that in someone's name before, and I wanted to ask you where that comes from.
Yes, it is unusual. It's a family name. There was a Drain family from Scotland, and sometime in the early 1900s, there was some flu epidemic or something. Anyway, the parents died in this epidemic, and the kids were adopted by a family friend who was a doctor called Dr. Lowe. And he must have been a pretty nice fellow, because he took the kids in and he gave them his name, you know, adopted them. But he said, look, your parents, they were very nice folks, you know, so remember that you were a Drain. The Drain is quite a common surname in Scotland, by the way. And he said, you should have Drain as a family name. And since then, in my family, they've all been called, they've got a first name, and Drain has been the middle name. Like my lad is Roy Drain. My dad was Jeffrey Drain, although everyone called him Drain, actually. He was known as Drain Lowe.
That's a beautiful story to an unusual name. I'm so glad I asked. I hesitated to do it.
Thank you for asking.
That's wonderful. Well, look, Nick Lowe, we're out of time this morning, but it's been such a great pleasure talking with you. I hope you really enjoy your time in Australia and particularly in Adelaide, and I can't wait to see you on stage at the Gov tomorrow night.
Fantastic, Deb. Thank you very much for having me on the show.
Thank you. The wonderful Nick Lowe playing at the Gov tomorrow night.